from today's gospel, especially the last here words here of God the Father to his Son. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, I think all of us have experienced that feeling of kind of being anonymous. You move to a new area, you go to a new school, you're on a new sports team, and you know who you are, okay, but no one else seems to. You know your abilities, but no one else has a clue. I kind of get that feeling of being anonymous. Well, every time I go to a pastor's convention, I mean, no one knows who I am. That's always been the case. But I get it acutely when, like, I go to a store, and this has happened. I've mentioned this several times because it happens all the time where people, you know, I tell them my name, and they repeat it back with an entirely different name. It's happened like 6 or 7 times. It just happened again last week. Went to Arby's in Albany. I'm a foot and a half away from this the person I ordered the food from. And she said, what name do you put the food under? And I said, Ted. Now, you all heard what I said there, right? Okay. And she goes, is that with a T? And I go, yeah. And I even spelled it. I go, T-E-D. And so I'm sitting there, and this has happened so many times, that finally when the order was up and they called out, order up for Tevin, T-E-V-I-N. In fact, I brought the slip with me in case you don't believe me. I'll show you. Tevin. And I mean, my self-worth is so low, I just got up, yep, Tevin right here, you know. And it just, but you see, even though I told her and spelled it to her, she still didn't know who I was, right? Didn't even know my name. I saw an example of this on TV this last week as I was watching the fires in California, and a reporter was interviewing a guy who was helping to get people out of their homes and helping to clear traffic and all these things. You know, a real good Samaritan. And finally, at the end, the reporter asked him his name, and he said, Steve Gutenberg. Back in the late 80s and early 90s, he was a big deal. He was in Cocoon. He was in Police Academy. He was in Three Men and a Baby. He was one of the biggest stars. Now, I knew who he was. Obviously, Steve Gutenberg knew who he was, but the reporter, absolutely no idea. Now, knowing who Jesus is one of the main things that the gospel writers are really focusing on when they write their gospels. And in about the middle of most of the Gospels, Jesus gets his disciples as far away from Jerusalem as he's ever going to get, outside of Jewish territory altogether, and he gets his disciples alone, which is a rare occasion, and he says, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist brought back from the dead, and others say that you are the prophet who was foretold. And then Jesus really gets down to it, and he says, who do you say that I am? And then Peter has his great confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it wasn't too much later than that, that on the Mount of Transfiguration, 3 disciples had that backed up because they view Jesus and see him in his glory as the Son of God, and then they hear God himself say, this is my beloved Son. Now, even though the disciples and the crowd with him didn't understand who Jesus was, Jesus always knew who he was. I mean, after the Mount of Transfiguration, they're traveling down with a large group of people, all these pilgrims from Galilee. And the Galilean pilgrims, pretty sure by the time they get to Jerusalem, they have Jesus pegged because they've heard his teaching, mostly about the kingdom that's coming. They've heard him or seen him heal people and do miracles, all these wonderful things, and they say, this is the only thing that we would expect the Messiah to be doing. The disciples, the pilgrims, they think they know, but they don't. Not only was Jesus always God, he always knew it. I mean, last week we had a good example of that. He's 12 years old. He's a little kid, and his parents track him down in the temple, and what does he say? Hey, didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? Now, he's not talking about Joseph's house up in Nazareth. He's talking about his heavenly Father. He always knew it, especially when he was baptized. And God told him what he already knew. You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. And I got to thinking about that and thinking, what must that have been like to be Jesus, where you are the only one who really understands who you are and yet you're basically anonymous to everybody else. I don't know. My first thought went to Superman. You know, I'm not from this sermon. Don't take that I'm saying Jesus is like Superman. I'm not doing that. In fact, I don't really like Superman. I'm not a big DC comic guy. I'm more of a Marvel one. Okay, all superheroes are kind of, you know, unbelievable. But the DC comic ones, especially Superman, that just goes way beyond. I mean, he ends up having infinite power. I never know why it's such a big deal that he can jump over a building. He can do a lot more than that. You look at the first Superman movie. There's an earthquake. Lois Lane dies, right? And Superman couldn't get there in time. He's all shook up. So what does he do? Well, he just starts just shooting around the earth, right, and reverses the rotation of the earth. And, of course, you know, if you study science at all, you know what happens when the rotation of the earth is reversed. Time goes backwards. No, it doesn't. Okay. Everybody now, including Lois Lane, are dead if that rotation was to reverse. Anyway, he does that. He has that kind of power. And yet the most unbelievable thing about Superman for me always is his disguise. All you got to do is put him in a three-piece suit, some wingtips, a fedora, and especially the glasses, and no one has a clue. He's anonymous. Let's see if that works. Pastor Schaefer, right? Oh, who is he? Who is he? Oh, don't worry. It's Pastor Schaefer. No, it doesn't work that way, okay? I mean, he looks like Superman with glasses. I don't think. Anyway, but the point is, how many times in this story of Superman, those comic books and all these things, is he dying to tell someone that he's Superman? Happens all the time. And I thought, how many times was Jesus dying to do the same thing? And didn't. Next week, Jesus really begins his ministry with his temptation in the wilderness. And one of those temptations has to do with that. Satan says, well, throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple and the angels will catch you. And he's not telling Jesus to do this at night when no one's there. He's telling him to do it in the middle of the day so everyone can see who he is. That had to be tempting. And we can see those temptations lasted throughout his ministry because, at the very end, before he's arrested, what does he say to his disciples? Don't you think I could call down legions of angels to protect me right now? And he could have. And it had to be tempting not to do that. Now, sometimes in our life, we really feel anonymous like that. And somebody will praise us, and we're like, I don't know who you're talking about. Or they'll have, you know, hateful words for us, and he's not talking about me. What I think is kind of ironic is, in Jesus' ministry, the only people who really know who he is are the demons. And I think our own personal demons are what we know most about ourselves, our weaknesses, our anxieties, our sin. And that's why Jesus' baptism is so incredibly important. Because on that day, as Jesus is praying, God the Father says, "This, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And then what God does is he includes the disciples, and in fact all mankind in that, on the Mount of Transfiguration. Where now these three disciples are up there, and they see Jesus in his glory, and then God the Father includes them. He says of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, now listen to him." And when we listen to Jesus, we start to learn who we really are. He gives us his own name, and he knows us by that name. He blesses us with his love, and he says, "You are now my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. I loved you enough to die on a cross for your sin, and now you are my child forever, and that love will never come to an end." And then our lives are transformed. The ugliness that we try to hide is transformed into the beauty that we should never hide, of being children of God because he says so. Now, we often live our lives as if we don't really recognize that this is happening. We'll either put ourselves or view ourselves way too high or way too low, and neither one's true. We're not perfect. We're not the worst. We're not angels. We're not demons. We're not beauty. We're not the beast. What we are is baptized. Baptized into the name of Jesus Christ himself. And that changes everything in our life. Now we'll wake up in the morning and look in the mirror. Today that wasn't quite a special joy for me this morning, okay? I'm looking in the mirror and I'm looking at a mess. And I'm just like, ugh, you know? And I certainly don't feel like a child of God or a son of God today. That doesn't matter. Because I can still look at that mess every morning. And some mornings worse than others. Today was pretty bad. I can look at that mess and I can just say, you know what? Hey, I don't feel like a son of God. I don't look like a son of God. I don't act like a son of God. But God the Father himself has said, you're my beloved child. And because of my son, Jesus Christ, you are pleasing to me and always will be. And the key is this. Jesus, this is my beloved son, God says. And now he says, listen to him. I pray that every day of our lives in faith, we not just listen to him, but we hear what he says about us. And we understand the joy of being his child, being protected, being loved, being defended and protected, and also the joy of knowing that someday this Father is coming to take us home. In Jesus' name, amen.